Okay, today's daf is Nun Tet. We're going to start at, we'll go back for a minute just to repeat this braita that we quoted because we're going to now go into it a little bit more. Just to mention online, this is my last day of teaching for the next month. I'll probably pick up on teaching either September 1st or maybe a few days before.
And we'll still be in Bava Kamma.
Yes. We'll miss a bunch of the fun stuff, but we will still be there. Okay. So we were in the middle of this braita that we quoted. If you recall, we were talking about how we evaluate damages. We talked about if it's a field, depending on at what stage it's up to, but the general principle, according to Chachamim, is you evaluate what the value of this tree with or this area within, right, comparing it to a field that would have 60 times the amount. There were a few different things about 60 times what, and we had different evaluations. We also saw different opinions about it, and depending on the stages of it, what stage it was up to, how you evaluate damages. And then we had a question, what about, this was all for if you're animal damages, what if it's a, if it's a person who damages, do we have the same principle? Or do we say, no, he actually has to pay for whatever damage he did, and that the whole thing about measuring it out of a field of 60 would only be a kula for your property damaging. So that was what we were your property being an animal or some other kind of, okay? Meaning not you yourself directly damaging, but something that you own damaging. So in the context of that, we brought this braita, then now we're going to go in depth into some of the different opinions. So this braita is about an animal. It's six lines from the bottom. So katman nitia, if he cut a sapling, the animal, Rabbi Yossi omer gozrei gzeirot shebirushalayim omrim nitia bat shnata shtei kesef bat shtei shanim arba'a kesef. Okay, so there's a certain amount what it's valued at. Achla chaziz, if it was the unripe blades of grass in the earlier stages, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Nidom Ba Meshuyar Shebo. We evaluate what the crop did, the rest of the field, how it grew later on, and then we evaluate the damage based on what it was going to become. We're going to talk a lot about this today, about what something is at the moment and what it becomes and how do we figure out what the damage is. The Chachamim Omerim, no, that's not how we do it. Ro'im Otaha, right, how much the field, Kama Itayafa, Vakama Hiyafa. Okay, that was the first stage, chaziz. Now we get to smadar. Once it already bears a small little fruit, which is not a ripe fruit at all, but a small little fruit. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ro'ino tan ki'ilu hem anavim omdot li batzer. We evaluate it as if it's already grapes that are about to be picked. Okay, so we, even though it's not worth anything right now, since we look at the potential, what it's going to be, the chachamim omrim, no, we don't do that. Ro'in kama hatayafa v'kama hiyafa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon, b'med dvarim amurim b'zman shachla luhaveg fanim v'yichurei te'enim. So he says, this is all true if you're talking about the young branches or vines, the young branches of the vines or the shoots of the fig tree. But, avalachla pagim oboser, now if you notice, we're going to talk about this soon, there's a big gap between luhaveg fanim, it says, you know, this is this is only true for lulaveg fanim, but if they're already pagim or boser, which is already half ripe, which obviously leaves the smadar in the middle, it's not clear where smadar falls out. So ro'ino tankilu hem omdot li batzer. So according to this, the ripe figs and the half ripe grapes, those are going to be viewed as if they're cut, but it sounds like he's disagreeing with Rabbi Yeshua, who says that that's true already for the smadar. However, since he didn't really say smadar, eventually the Gemara is going to say he also agrees about the smadar. And then we're going to say, well, then they say the exact same thing, so what's the chidush? So, you know, what's the difference between them? We'll get to that eventually. Okay, so then, again, for our purposes, I'll just keep reading this, even though we already did this yesterday. Katani miyat v'chachamim omrim me'unotan kama ita yafa v'kama yafa v'lo katani b'shishim. If you remember, right, this whole point was to show that even if it doesn't say shishim, it still means shishim, and that was what Abaye was trying to use this to disprove Rava, who said that even for Adam HaMazik, there is no shishim, and he said, why? Because the Braita doesn't say it. Well, here the Braita also doesn't say it, and it means shishim. Okay. Amar, so, Elamayi lachalumim b'shishim, and therefore hachanami b'shishim. Okay. So now I went all the way back because I wanted to get to this. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, okay, so now I have to go back to him. He said, Nidom b'mishuyar shabo. We take the field, we see what happens to it later on in the season, how much of the tfu'ah or whatever it might be grew, and then we evaluate it based on that. If you remember, we talked yesterday about the difference between grapes and a field, because a field, we can assume whatever happened to this will happen to the rest, whereas grapes are a little more temperamental, just because one's going to grow nicely, but it's not clear the other will. So then now they say, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who said, Nidom b'mishuyar shabo, v'Rabbi Yishmael amru davar achad. They both agree. Okay, they both say the same thing. This is a very common thing where we say, they group a bunch of rabbis together, sometimes two, sometimes five, and they say, oh yeah, they all say the same thing. And then they say, well, what did they say, and where did they say it, and what do you mean, and which statements of theirs you're trying to group together. So, echad amru davar achad. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Hadamaran, our opinion here. Rabbi Yishmael, Titania, this is something we've actually seen before. Meitav Sadehu Meitav Kamro Yishalem. Okay, we darshan this pasuk. You have to pay for damages the best of your field or the best of your vineyard. Meitav Sadehu Shal Nizak Umeitav Kamro Shal Nizak Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, so Rabbi Yishmael says, what does this mean? It means you have to pay by the best field of the one you damage. Now we're going to see in a minute what exactly this means. Rabbi Akiva Omer Loba Kachuv Ela Gvot Lenizakin Min Ha'idit VeKavachomer LaHekdesh. Rabbi Akiva says, no, this just tells us that when the mazik comes to pay damages, the basic halacha of damages, when the mazik comes to pay his damages, he has to pay whatever amount of damage is worth from the best of his land. So if he damaged 100 shekels, he has to take 100 shekels of his best land. Okay, and that's, we've seen before that for different things, different payments, right? The ketubah is bebein onid, right? We've seen different payments that depends on whether you need the best land, the worst land, etc. Sorry, the ketubah was from the zibruit, right? You pay from your, there was a machloket about it? Oh, now I forgot. Right, balchov is bebein onid, and the ketubah, I think, is from the zibruit, right? The worst of your land. And that's because, right, because of chayim, we wanted people to get married and know that they could pay from the lower of the land. Okay. So now, Rabbi Akiva says, that's what we learn from this, and Kavachomer LaHekdesh, and all the more so, if you're Machdish something to the Beit HaMikdash, obviously you have to pay with the best of your land. The Lo Tema, so now let's go back. Rabbi Akiva doesn't interest us. Right now we're trying to see, where does Rabbi Yishmael hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili? The Lo Tema, don't explain this, Kir of Idi Bar Avin, the Amr of Idi Bar Avin, Kigon She'achla Aruga Ben Ha'arugot, the Lo Yadinan Ik Chusha Havai, Ishmena Havai, Da Amar Kum Shlem Shmena, the Meitav. Okay, let's stop for a minute. So Rav Idi Bar Avin said, what must be the case that Rabbi Yishmael is making a statement about? If it's a fake weather, we don't know which type of land the animal ate. Was it good land or bad land, right? Like lean land or fat land. So if we don't know, then according to Rav Idi Bar Avin, what Rabbi Yishmael is coming to say is, you pay as if you damaged the better land. Okay, so now we say that can't possibly be, though, because okay, from the best that you have now, from the best that you damaged, we don't say this, my time, why not? The burden of proof lies on the person trying to get paid back. So the nizak, the damaged one, would have to prove that it was my best land that you ate. And if it's a sefik and he can't prove it, well, then he doesn't get the money for it. And that's he'll get the lower quality. You know, he'll get a lower amount, right? The question is, he ate, you know, let's say a 2x2 section. The question is, a 2x2 section that's worth 100 shekels, or is a 2x2 section that's worth 120? So according to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Avin, that's what Rabbi Yishmael is saying. You have to pay him 120. It has nothing to do with what kind of land you're paying him back from. It has to do with what the value of what he ate was. According to the Gemara now, it can't be because he should only pay him 100 until the guy can prove he actually owes him 120. Ela b'meitav delakame, umayniu kihach desalik. So it must be with the best of, that you evaluate it based on not what it is now, but what it's going to become, which is exactly what Rabbi Yossi Aglili said about b'mishuyar shabo. In other words, we're going to evaluate it based on, even though right now he damaged something that maybe wasn't worth a lot, but we're going to view it based on its future potential and how much it can become. Okay, and that's what he means by the meitav of the nizak, how it's going to grow in the future. Okay, Amar Mar. Now we're going to go into the next opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bamedvarim Amarim Shachla Lul Pekfanim Vihurei Teinim. So if we're saying it only applies in the Lul of Pekfanim Vihurei Teinim, right, which is just the shoots, Hasmadar, the conclusion about a smadar, if it already bore a small fruit, Ro'ino Tan Ki'ilu Anavino Din Li Batzir, right? The assumption is they would be viewed as if they were about to be picked. But Ema Seifa, but then it says after that, Achla pagim oboser who tan ki ilo hayu anavim umdim li batzer. That only, right, remember I told you, it gave both extremes. So it said, only once they become half ripe do you evaluate it based on that. Hasmadar, the implication of the second line would be, if it was still smadar, ro'ino tan kama hi yafa v'kama ita yafa. Maybe then we do this evaluation, the chachamim say, where we kind of do this in between. So amaravina, no, that's not the way we read it. Kroch v'tane. Read it like this, like cut and paste, sort of. That's almost like what it means, okay? That's how you should read it so far. That's the same. Aval achlas madar pagin oboser. Okay, but he's cut the word smadar, paste it over there, and say, all that roino tanki ilu anavim omdot li batzer. But then we have the problem, like I mentioned. Well, then he's going to be saying the exact same thing that Rabbi Yoshua is saying. Ihachi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Hainu Rabbi Yoshua. They're the same thing. And if they're the same thing, well, then they wouldn't be mentioned separately. It doesn't make any sense. And that we don't have a problem if Tanaim agree with each other, but if they're mentioned in a braita in a list of all different opinions, then they can't possibly be saying the same thing. So now they give a strange answer. Usually when you have an Ika Benayu, it's like, okay, so where would there be a difference? The halakha, and it's based on some comment that they made in this context. In this case, they both say the exact same thing. So we can't say that there's a difference based on what we see in front of us. So what do they say? They say there must be some difference that we don't know about. And we're going to tell you what this difference is. Ika Benayu kachash gufna. Okay, what does this mean? When you take fruits off, when the fruits are growing on the tree, the assumption is that they're taking energy from the tree itself or from the, you know, wherever it's growing, and that's weakening other part of the plant, okay, or the tree. So if you cut those, whatever they are, grapes, you know, anything, whatever you cut, you're actually strengthening the tree itself, and you're causing, you're preventing possible future damage, okay? Or there's a certain amount of money that you can evaluate that, okay, we're going to see a few other interesting ramifications of this, but if you are now, yes, you damaged something, but now you're causing the person who is damaged to actually get some benefit because now his tree is somewhat stronger and he doesn't need to treat it or something further down the road. So the machloket is going to be between the two is, do you have to do you get to deduct that from your payment? You say, yes, I took all these fruits. However, I now strengthened your tree by X, and I'm going to deduct that from my payment. And they disagree about that. And the Gemara tells us, though, velomasayime, but we don't know who says what, right? Because, again, like I said, this isn't that it comes clear from their opinion that we can assume this is a ramification. We're just kind of saying there must be this difference between them. So Abai Amar, Misaime, Misaime. Hey, I know exactly who said what, okay? Well, how do I know? Mantana dechayesh lekachash gufna, lekachash gufna. Who's the one who's choshesh for this amount of money that we're going to deduct? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, he, okay? He's the one who says it. How do I know this? Titania, okay, you're not going to like this one. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishim, Rabbi Shimon ben Benasya, Ones eno mashalema tatzar. Somebody rapes a betula. The assumption is, right, there's pain in her losing her betulim, but he doesn't have to pay that because eventually she would have had that under her husband. And therefore, the tsar from that is not going to, is going to be deducted from his payment, basically. He might have to pay tsar for having, if he hit her, if he was violent with her, you know, but not for the actual loss of the betulim. Okay, so now what do you see? So first of all, chachamim, thankfully, disagree. Amrulo, eino domen nivele beratzon nivele beones. You can't compare the pain of a woman from being raped to the pain of a woman when she does it willingly. And therefore, there's no, you know, they don't get off without having to pay the tsar. Okay, but Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh basically deducts that payment. So he would also say, I'm going to deduct that payment of the damages from the damages he has to pay. Amar Abai. Now Abai is going to go off. We're going to deal a little bit more with this topic in a few other areas. Hanei Tanai, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amru Davar Chad. So now we're going to say these Tanaim, which we're going to see in a minute, who are these Tanaim, and Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh said the same thing about this Kachash Gufna. Kachash is from the word to lachish, to deny. So it comes from like, or Kusha, we saw before, was the lean. It's like the weaker. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Amru Dvar Chad. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Hadamaran. That's the one we already saw. Hani Tanai Maihi. Titanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer Nechi Chaya. Ben Azai Omer Nechi Mezonot. Okay, Nechi from like Lenakot, to deduct. So here you have a case where a person attacked a pregnant woman and she miscarried. And what happens? So he has to pay the damages of the vlad, right? But then they say, well, you deduct the amount of money she would have had to pay for a chaya, what's a chaya, a midwife. So you deduct the midwife payment because now they got saved that they don't, you know, now they're not having the baby. So she's getting, you know, because he, right, it's a terrible thing to think about. Oh, well, you know, yeah, it's true. I made you miscarry, but look at all the money I'm going to save you, okay? Interesting that they're talking specifically about the, right, if you think about child rearing, how much money they actually save the family, you can come up with college tuition. I mean, you can go forever. Okay, which is interesting because we'll see in a minute about the mezonot, okay? So, nechi chaya means we take away the midwife payment. Then, as I says, we deduct the mezonot payment. Now, this is an interesting machloka between all the mefreshim. The basic assumption is the mezonot we're discussing here is the mezonot that the husband has to give the wife, and the assumption is when she's pregnant, she eats more. So because she's no longer pregnant, you can deduct some amount that the husband now saves from not having to pay the, you know, all this money for the woman to eat more mezonot. Some people say, no, it's the mezonot after pregnancy because she's having a hard time and she needs food to make her feel better. Some people take it even to say, which makes a lot of sense about what I'm saying about the child, that, now, first of all, halachically, you're supposed to feed your child only till age 6, okay? Not that you don't have to feed them after, but there's certain halachot about up to age 6. There's all sorts of things we discussed this way back when in Nashim about certain thing about custody, about the father having custody till age 6. There's all this stuff about it. That the mother gets custody till age 6, and after that, the father, it's much easier halachically for the father to get custody after that. Anyway, however you look at it, whether it's mezonot till age 6 or mezonot in general for the child. So in other words, again, you could take this to, like I said, college tuition. In other words, how far this goes, you know, you can end up saying, well, the guy's for sure not going to pay any damages. Okay. So Manda Amar, now if you say Nechi Chaya, take away the midwife payment, Kol Shekein Nechi Mezonot, would obviously agree that also it's not just the midwife payment, it's the Mezonot. Umanda Amar Nechi Mezonot, but if you say take away the Mezonot, he would not agree, Aval Nechi Chaya Lo, De Amar Le, because he could say, the husband could say, Itita Didi Pkichahi, the Lo Mibaya Chaya. I wasn't necessarily going to pay a midwife. My wife is very smart. She can handle things. She's a very strong woman. She could have a baby without a midwife. I wasn't going to pay a midwife fee anyway, so definitely don't deduct that. But the mezonot, there's no way getting around. So if you say mezonot, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to say deduct the midwife payment. Okay, Rav Papa. Okay, so now going back to our key issue. This was all a sidetrack. Right? We got sidetracked from the sidetrack because we got into this braita all about Adama Mazik. Right, we brought up a braita about a behemah mazik, and then we went into all the different opinions that were brought, even though we only brought it for Da Chachamim, about Kama Yafa, right, and Kama Hiyafa, and it doesn't say Shishim, and that was our whole proof. But since it brought all these other opinions, we got into these other opinions, we brought other people who hold the same opinions, we tried to understand their opinions. Within that, we got into this Kachash Gufna, we brought up in other cases. Now we're going back to where we started, which is about the Adama Mazik. So if you remember, there was this case with the Resh Galuta, and the Resh Galuta said, you pay a third, because it was one out of three trees, you pay the value of the tree. And Rav Nachman came and said, no way, even though it's a Dhamma Mazik, we still do it the same way, and we evaluate what would one tree like this be worth in a field of 60, and if you did that, you know, you sold the field of 60 with this tree, and you sold the field of 60 without this tree, and that's how you would come up with damages, also for a Dhamma Mazik. So now we're going to see some people who paskin like Rav Nachman. Rav Papa, Rav Huna Brei, Rav Yeshua, Avid Uvda Kavatei, Rav Nachman B'Shishim. They didn't. They paskin like Rav Nachman and with Adama Mazik, also with Shishim. Lishna Achrina, a different way of saying this, although it seems to me, I tried to figure this out many times, I think it's just the same thing, it's just that they're wording it differently. I don't think this means anything different. Rav Papa, Rav Huna Brei, Rav Yeshua, Shamu Dikla Agav Ktina Da'ara. Okay, instead of saying that they did a maaseh like Rav Nachman B'Shishim, it says they evaluated a dekel compared to a field of 60. That seems to be the way everyone understands this. So it's just a different way of saying it. I don't think it means anything different. V'hilchata kavatei d'Rav Papa v'Rav Huna Brei d'Rav Yeshua v'dikla aramai. In the case of a dekel aramai, the halacha is like them, meaning if a person cuts down someone's dekel aramai, okay, which is a basic tree, well, we're going to see. Okay, we're going to talk about this in a minute. We'll give at least three different opinions about what the differences are between these trees. Okay, so we see that now there's two different types of dekel trees, and some are evaluated one out of 60, and some are evaluated for their value itself. So Rashi says a dikla parsai is very chashuv, and therefore it's evaluated by itself. Okay, you can't just say, oh, what would this be like in a field? Because nobody ever sells it within a field. You'd only sell it by itself. It's got chashivu. And that's why it's evaluated based on its own value. Some people say it's the opposite. It's so unimportant that if you did it within a field, the nizak would get nothing. And dafkin, an important one, so a field would be deducted in value, and therefore you do it like that. There was a third opinion. I'm forgetting now, just 1 minute. Right, one says is not right. The Rush says that a dekel aramai is one that hasn't actually fully grown yet, and therefore you can't actually replant it somewhere else, and that's why it's b'shishim. But a dekel parsai is already finished its growth, and therefore you could actually uproot it and plant it somewhere else. It seems strange to me that they would call a tree a different name at a different stage of its growth. But anyway, you can see that it was very unclear where this was going and, you know, why, what's the difference actually. There's a good example, by the way, of they used this terminology in the Gemara, then obviously at that time everybody knew what a dekel parsai and a dekel aramai is. When it came to later generations, they had no clue what the differences was. Nobody left a manual that said this is a dekel parsai, and it was all just conjecture, and that's why you could come up with all different interpretations, right? And as we know in Gemara logic, the logic could go either which way. Okay, now we get a story. Eliezer Ze'ira. Okay, Ze'ira means young. Okay, Ze'ira is small. So this young Eliezer was walking Hayasim Misane Uchme. He was wearing black shoes. Now, again, big debate. This is another example. Nobody knew what the significance of black shoes. We're going to see the black shoes means you're an Avelut. Okay? He was wearing these black shoes. Some people say they weren't shiny black shoes like everyone else wore. They were, you know, matte shoes, not shiny. Some people say they were... He wore black shoes. Everyone wore black shoes, but he wore black shoes with black shoelaces, and other people wore black shoes with white shoelaces. Seems a little weird to wear black shoes with white shoelaces. But anyway, right, exactly. This is, again, nobody understood what the significance of all these things were. But anyway, it's clear from the story that it was a sign of Avelut. Whatever he was doing was different than other people. It stood out, and so he was wearing these black shoes. V'kai b'shuka, and he walked in the shuk, din hardeha. Eshkechuhu de Beresh Galuta. The Beresh Galuta saw him. Vamrale, right? The people of the Resh Galuta's house saw him. Vamrale, Maishna Hani Masane. Why are you wearing these shoes? Right? You can see these are like the patrol, you know. Okay? What are you doing wearing these shoes? Hamar Lehu, Dikama Ablina a Yerushalayim. I'm Mitabel al Yerushalayim. That's why I'm wearing them. Amrule, it's a very interesting reaction. At Chashiva Latbule Ayushalayim, you think you're such an important person that you should be showing this outward sign of Avelut for Yerushalayim. Savor Yehorahava, they thought that he was being show-offy, like trying to show I'm a big Tamil Chacham that I'm wearing. Okay, I'm mitabel al Yerushalayim in public. Okay, right, nowadays, right, everybody can do whatever they want. Nobody starts complaining, oh, you're being so whatever, right? But so now their reaction is very interesting. Akua v'chavshua. They put him in jail. Okay, they actually put him in jail for wearing shoes and showing these outward signs of avilut when they thought he was just a regular guy. And what are you doing trying to pretend you're a Talmid Chacham and you're such an important person? I have to do avilut al Yerushalayim in public. Amar lehu, he says to them, listen, gavara ba'ana, I'm an important person. You think I'm a young guy, but I'm an important person. It's a little bit reminiscent of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? When he was 18 and he was big Talmid Chacham, but people didn't respect him because he looked so young. So I don't know if he was small or young, you know, how you translate this ze'era, right? But that somehow he didn't look like a serious Talmid Chacham. So what do they say to him, right? They don't believe him. He's a gavaraba. Amrulei, minaya dinam, prove it. Hamotzi mechavera lavaraya, right? You want to get out of jail? Go prove it to us. Amar lehu, o atun ba minay milta. Either you ask me a question, o ana ibaya minay chumilta, or I'll ask you a question. In other words, start quizzing me, or see how good my questions are. Amrulei, bai at. You ask up, ask a question. Amar lehu, he says to them, Hi man de katz kufra, my mishalim. Someone who cuts down a kufra, the assumption is a kufra is a
budding date.
It's a budding date. It's not, again, it's not worth anything yet. Okay, this all goes back to what things are worth now and what will they be worth later. My mishalim. Amrulei, mishalim de bay kufra. You pay the worth of the kufra, which is basically nothing. Okay? So he says to them, "Vahahavu tamare." But what do you mean? You pay nothing. These are going to become tamarim. They might not be worth something now, but they're going to be worth something in the future. Amarle mishalim demei tamare. Tamare. So then they said, "Ah, you're right. So we should pay, you know, the value of the tamarim." These rabbis obviously weren't as smart as he was, right? Amar lehu v'halav tamare shakamine. How could you say that you pay the value of the dates? He didn't cut down dates, right? That's not what he... So it's true, they were potentially going to become dates, but they're not dates now. So Amrulei, Ema'at, Emalan at. Why don't you tell us? Okay? Amar lehu, Bishishim. So what does he say to them? It's you evaluate it, right? What's this worth within a field of 60? Amrulei, Man Amar Kavatech. They had obviously never heard this. And they say, well, who holds like you? Amar lehu, Ha Shmuel chai u'beit dino kayam. He says, look, Shmuel's still alive and his beit din is kayam, so why don't you go and ask him? Shadru kamei de Shmuel. Amar lehu, so they sent it before Shmuel. He says to them, Shapir ka'am lechu b'shishim. He said, right, okay, what he says is exactly right. You do it b'shishim, b'shavkuhu, and they let him go. Okay? Something interesting about this story, if you think about it, what happened in this story? He was a young guy with a lot of potential, like these, right, the story, right, he's a budding date, uh-huh. That it's exactly, that it's not Vimikre that he gave them this example. In other words, he was trying to show them, you know, you're looking at me now, at what I'm at right now, I have a lot of potential, you know, I'm just a young student, but look at where I can go, you know, so on the one hand, and what's interesting about it is, what was the whole concern? They said it was Yehora, right? Now, Yehora is very hard to assess. Is someone actually really being show-offy, or are they doing it for good intents without trying to be show-offy? And I think what he's trying to say is, don't look at me like I'm a nothing right now. That this, you know, originally, notice by the way, their first response was, oh, he should pay the value of the kofar, exactly what it is now. They were very shallow. They couldn't see past that. So then he said, no, just because I'm nothing now, I have potential. But then they said, so pay the full value. And he said, I don't look at myself as a big Talmid Chacham yet. You know, I'm not wearing these shoes because I want it. I just, you know, I'm doing the right thing, or I'm doing what I think is right. So it's an interesting example that, you know, they use to show. What I think they're really getting at is that this has ramifications in all areas about people's potential and what, you know, what there's potential for and how to view other people when they're in the process. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achla Perot Gemurim. So now Rabbi Shimon says, if you eat Perot Gemurim, okay, then you pay. This is, one second, I'm trying to remember that. This is back to the Mishnah they're quoting. Right. This is the last line of the Mishnah. Okay, now we're going back. All right. There were the two opinions in the Mishnah. How do you pay Mashi Zika, right? So the first one was Shamim Beit Se'abo Tasadya Kamahi Yafa, and that was the whole Shishim. And now Rabbi Shimon disagreed, and he said, if you ate Peirok Mu'im, then you're Mishalem Peirok Mu'im. Okay, and you pay exactly the amount of fruits that you ate. Once they ripened, and they were fully ripe, then you already pay the value of the fruits themselves and not the value of the field. So my time, where do you learn this from? Ha Amar Rahmana, the Torah says, Ubi'er b'steachir, milamed sheshamin al gabe sadeh. What does it say in the pasuk? Bi'er b'steachir. What do you learn from the sadeh achir? That you evaluate it based on the sadeh. But hane mile, midi ditzarech l'sadeh. It's only something that still needs the field. But hane, kevan delot tzriche l'sadeh, be'inayhu b'ishlume. Sorry, be'inayu b'ishlume, right? You have to pay them be'in. That means in their complete value. So since these fruits are fully ripe, and they don't need the field anymore. They might still be attached to the ground, but they don't need to be attached to the ground anymore. Therefore, they're not considered part of the sadeh, and therefore the whole halakha, bi'er b'steachir, where we evaluate it based on the field, is not relevant to them. Amar Rav Huna bar Rav Chiya, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, Dan Rav k'Rabbi Meir, Upasak Hilchata k'Rabbi Shimon. So, we now, again, another statement that's kind of detached. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba said that Rav Paskin like Rabbi Meir, and he paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now we don't know in what areas. So, Dan Rav ki Rabbi Meir, if you notice, we didn't have Rabbi Meir here. So, that's talking about something else. Detanya katav l'rishon v'lo chatmalo, l'sheni v'chatmalo, avdak shubata divi Rabbi Meir. Okay, this is a whole different topic, okay? This came up only because he said the paskins like Rabbi Meir in something and Rabbi Shimon in this. And here he paskins like Rabbi Shimon. And in some other area, he paskins like Rabbi Meir. What's this case? A woman has a ketubah. Now, we talked about that a ketubah, the husband's property is meshuabad, is leaned to her ketubah. If he sells property, so she can demand it from that property. Let's say he sold a field, but he still had other fields to collect the ketubah with. So the sale's a good sale, no problem. Then he sells, and the woman doesn't say anything when he sells the field. Then he sells a second field, and the woman gives her ishur and says, no problem, you can sell that field. So then the question is, so if katav la rishon, that's where he says, he wrote a start of the rishon, velo chatmalo, and she didn't sign on it. She didn't agree with it. She didn't say anything about it. But la sheni v'chatmalo, and now that's his last piece of land, and she signed on it, abdak tu bata. The assumption is when she signed on it, what was she saying? I agree that you sell my ketubah money, basically. And she felt like, I'd rather you have the money now and I won't get my property back later. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yecholai Shetomar, Nacharuach Asiti Lebaali, Atem Malachem Alai. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. She could say, listen, I was just doing it so my husband could get the sale. I knew if I signed, the guy would be more likely to sell it to my husband and sell it for more money. If I didn't agree, then he'd be worried I was going to take it. But I didn't really mean it. I wasn't saying I was giving up my rights to my ketubah. So he's, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she doesn't lose her ketubah. And the issue is also because she didn't agree with the first one, and she did agree with the second. So Rabbi Meir says that proves that her agreement means something. And you can't just say, Nachat Ruach Hasiti Lebaali. So, according to this, Rav Paskin liked Rabbi Meir and said she loses her ketubah. By the way, it's interesting. I'm just remembering now that Rav was the one, if you remember, he wouldn't know. There was a whole thing with the Almanah. She couldn't get her ketubah money because she had to swear and they wouldn't let them swear. And Rav wouldn't allow Almanot to get their ketubah. And Shmuel Dafka was more Mekel in that area. But you see here that he's, maybe you could say he was a little less sympathetic to the women collecting their ketubah, because you see it here and you see it there also. There's some consistency with that. Again, whether you'd say he's insensitive, I don't know, but he certainly wasn't overly sensitive to helping the women to get their ketubot. It didn't become his issue, let's help these women. Whereas it was an issue for other people. Okay, Upasa Kelchataka Rabbi Shimon, Kihaditnan, like our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer Achla Peirok Mu'im, Shalemet Peirok Mu'im, Im Se'ah, Se'ah, Im Satayim, Satayim. So he also paskin here that once the fruits were ripe, then you pay in fruits and you don't evaluate it based on this 1/60. Okay, now we're going to have two more Mishnayot and then we'll finish the daf. Hamagdish Bitoch Zdeh Chavero Shalom Birishut. Okay, this is very similar to stuff we saw before. If you make a pile of your stuff, in someone else's field, like your produce, let's say your tvuah, your wheat, shelo birishut, and you didn't ask his permission, va'achaltam behemto shabal asadeh, patur, right? And then what happens? You put your pile in the guy's field, you didn't ask permission, and his animal came along and ate it. So obviously, the bala sadeh is patur, because what were you doing putting your stuff in his property? V'im huzka behen, bala gadish chayav, and if the animal ate it and was damaged by it, then, or if tripped over it, then the bala gadish is chayav. V'im higdish birishut, but if he allowed him to put the pile there, then bala sadeh is chayav. Okay, so then already the owner is chayav because he's assuming responsibility for it. Le matnan de lo kerebi. It sounds like this mission isn't like Rebbe. Do you remember what Rebbe said? De kerebi. Hamar, didn't he say, ad shekabel alav balabayit lishmor? That he's the last line, if he puts it birishut, then already he assumes responsibility. If you remember, Rebbe disagreed and said, he doesn't assume responsibility just by saying, yes, I allow you to do it, put it here. He assumes responsibility when he says, I will be a shomer. So Amar Papa, no, you don't have to say that this isn't like Rebbe. Even Rebbe might agree here, because Hacha Binatar Bei Dreas Kinan. We're talking about where a guy brought it to his friend's silo, and it was like the shomer of the silo that allowed him to put it here. To Kevin De Amarle Ayel Ugdosh Ayel VeInterlachu, because he says, "Come and put your pile here." He was basically saying, "Put it here, and I'll watch it." In other words, this was a unique case where accepting reshut is equivalent to saying, "I'll be a shomer." Okay, new Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah we've already seen, at
like
least most of it.
Gemara?
Yeah, that was probably the shortest Gemara. Yes. Okay, new Mishnah. Hashalech et ha-be'era b'yad cheresh shoteh v'katan. We've seen this a bunch of times. If you put fire in the hands, we're going to talk later, the Gemara we'll get into later about what type of fire you're giving him, in the hands of someone who's not responsible, you're patur b'dinei adam v'chaya b'dinei shamayim. In other words, you're patur because you didn't actually do anything. They ended up causing the fire to happen. But you're chaya b'dinei shamayim. In other words, you did really, you weren't very careful and you should have been more careful about it. Shalach b'yab pikeach, if you put a fire in the hands of a pikeach, so obviously ha pikeach chayav, someone who's not a cheresh or teva katan, they're chayav. Now we're going to have different cases of two people doing something together. Echad hevi et ha'or, one guy brought the flames, ve'echad hevi et ha'itzim, and the next guy put in the twigs, to make the fire go. Ha'mevi et ha'itzim chayav. Okay, basically, what would have happened? The fire spread because of the itzim. If it weren't for the itzim, well, there wouldn't have been a fire, the fire wouldn't have spread so far. So obviously, the mevi itzim is chayav. But if echad hevi et ha'itzim, first one guy brought the itzim, and then echad hevi et ha'or, so ha'mevi et ha'or chayav, right? Just because you brought itzim doesn't mean you're responsible. There was no fire, so obviously you didn't do anything. So if the guy who brings the flame after the guy who brings the itzim, the logs, then the guy who brought the fire is going to be chayav. Echad hevi et ha'itzim, ve'echad hevi et ha'or, ha'mevi et ha'or chayav, sorry, I just read that. Ba'achav viliba. Okay, one guy comes and basically fans the flames and causes them to catch. Hamilabech chayav, libta haruach kulam pturim. If they made a small bonfire and a big wind comes, it was an unexpected wind, then everybody is patur. Okay, the guy brought the fire, the guy brought the tree, the twigs. Okay, they're all patur because it was this unexpected wind that came along and caused the fire, and then it becomes the wind's fault, which basically no one can be responsible for. Amar Rish Lakish Mishmei Dechizkia. Lo Shanu Ela Shamasar Lo Gachelet Viliba. Okay, when it comes to the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan, is when you gave him a Gachelet, which we talked about, a coal, what happens? As time goes on, it gets weaker. It doesn't, it's not like a Shalhevet, a flame that's going to catch. And Liba, and the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan fanned the flames and made it spread. Ava Masar Lo Shalhevet Chayav. But if you actually give a cheresh or teva katana shalhevet, well, then you're totally responsible because the assumption is they don't have dat. That shalhevet's going to catch fire. My taima masav kagarmulo, right? Your maasim caused it. That's Rish Lakish. We've seen this before. Rabbi Yochanan amar, afilo masar lo shalhevet patur. Even if you give him a shalhevet, you're going to be patur. My taima savta de cheresh garmulo. Velo machayev ad shimsur lo gavza salta shraga. Dahu vadai maase didei garme. In other words, the point is, it's right, how do they translate this word safta? I forgot.
Grass.
What?
Glass.
Glass?
Grass.
Grass. Right.
Grass.
Grasp. Oh, that's right. It's the hold, right? It's the holding it that causes it. In other words, it's the person who controls a shalhevet itself cannot, you know, cause a whole fire. But it's the person holding it who, it depends where he brings it, that's gonna cause the problem. So they say that the person who gave it to him is only chayav if he basically created a situation where there was a whole bonfire going, you know, and then he passes it over to the other guy, and then he's responsible. But if he gives it to him by hand, and it's the guy's hand, and where he brings it, and what he does with that shalhevet, well, then already we're not going to call him responsible, and then it's going to be the category that the Mishnah said, which is, yes, you're patur b'dinei adam, however, you're also chayav b'dinei shamayim. If you remember, what did we see there? One of the interpretations that it means you really do have to pay. That you're not cleared b'shamayim until you actually pay the damage that it caused, because you actually did cause damage to this guy's field. So you kind of have some thing hanging over your head until you help alleviate the damage that you caused by paying the guy back. Okay.